So what I'm about to present is joint work with Mahmoud El-Hashash, who's a former student of Egon Schultes. We're both at Bridgewater State. And the way work with Mahmoud goes is you find a graph and you hand it to him, and he works some magic and tells you wonderful things about the graph. So that's where I was 4 weeks ago, was trying to find an interesting graph. And I really want to thank the organizers for inviting me, because in the process of writing this talk, I finally gave up looking for the perfect graph to give to Mahmoud and realized that what I have is a huge pile of imperfect graphs. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, is all these graphs that I found and I'm not really satisfied with. So I started out looking at this game called Tantrix. It's a game played with matching rules. I thought maybe I could prove something about games played with matching rules. Well, I got distracted. I'm going to see if I can use the projector to show you some of these tiles. There we go. So they're very pretty tiles. The matching rules are yellow matches yellow and green matches green. This is supposed to be red. This is supposed to be blue. And there are these paths drawn across the tiles. And what distracted me was, first of all, you've got this counting problem. How many tiles are there? And, look, this tile is a mirror image of that tile. But, if I do this, rotate it, it's still the same tile. So there are some natural equivalences and lack of equivalences between the tiles that I found interesting. And also for later, I want to point out that on this tile, the yellow path goes over the red, and on the one above it, the red path goes over the yellow. So there are all these properties of these tiles with the decorations on them that I found interesting. So there I was, all distracted by these pretty tiles. Okay, there we are. And I started organizing them in a graph. So the tiles I just showed you come with a set that has four colors decorating the tiles. Each tile only gets three colors. So let's say we're going to allow a fixed number of colors. We'll call it M. And maybe instead of hexagons, we'll have some even gon, right? The paths have to go from edge to edge, so you need an even number of edges. And the tiles I showed you, there was none that was sort of an asterisk. There's no tile where all the paths cross in the middle. So let's include that in the set, because it seems sort of unnatural to leave it out. I expect there's some manufacturing question about how do you make a tile that looks like that. That's the reason it's not in the set. Or maybe there's some gameplay question. Anyway, I threw them in. And then I'm going to make a graph where each tile is a vertex of the graph, and I join two tiles by an edge. It's switching the path endpoints onto adjacent sides of the tile. I've got sides and edges, and I'm going to try not to confuse them. So switching the path endpoints on two sides, if I get a different tile, those two tiles are joined by an edge. So that starts to describe a graph, but that doesn't finish it. That's where I was, and now what other conditions do I need to get the perfect graph? Well, here are some assumptions I made. I ignored, remember that red edge going over that yellow edge? I ignored all that. It's really hard to draw over and under crossings. Two tiles that differ by rotation, identical. Two tiles that differ by reflection, because of the physical design of the tiles, I decided I wanted those to represent different vertices in the graph, unless I say otherwise. You could make a directed graph. You could put directions on the paths. Let's not do that for now. And you could have weights on the edges, right? Sometimes you can switch two different pairs of sides to get the same tile. And let's not do that for now either. So these are all things that we could change to get different graph definitions. Maybe we get a nicer graph, maybe we wouldn't. So I was tinkering around with assumptions like this. Are there any questions on the underlying structure of the graph? So now I'm going to show you a bunch of examples of graphs I found. These are all very simple. because I had to draw them by hand. Well, I probably could have drawn them with a tool, but I'm not a whiz at that. And I made a lot of mistakes. So these are the ones that I didn't make mistakes when I was drawing. So here we've got single colored edges, right? All the paths are the same color, and the tiles are hexagonal. And we get these five vertices. Very simple. You can ignore the arrows on the edges if you like. The graph has a little bit of symmetry. Right? This workshop is on graphs and symmetry and things, so I'm going to comment a little on the symmetries. But I don't think that symmetry is really meaningful because this tile with the three loops and the tile with only two loops are very different topologically in some sense. So let's ignore the symmetry in this graph. I think it's an accident. The colors didn't come out. Well, here's, I took the same thing. It's three colored now, so there are three paths, three different colors of paths. And I assumed that two tiles that were mirror images of each other were identical. If you relax that assumption and say this is different from its mirror image, then you'll get, I think, another three vertices in that graph. And this is already confusing enough. And it has a nice threefold symmetry. If you lift this one tile up above the graph, you can see the symmetry. And it's not quite three regular, almost. So if it were regular, I'd be really happy, but these guys here keep it from being regular because of the loops on the sides. These guys, if you swap these two sides, it stays the same. You don't get many edges coming out of those guys. And I told you we could come back later and change our definitions. So here's sort of the most complicated definition on a square tile with two colors. If I swap any two sides of the tile on the left, I get to the tile on the right, up to rotation. I put an edge of degree 4, directed edge of degree 4, from the tile on the left to the tile on the right. Now, on the right, there are two swaps I can make that send the tile to itself, and two swaps I can make that take me back to where I started. So we've got this graph. It's got weighted edges. It's got loops. But it is regular. Right? The out degree of each tile is the same. The in degree of each tile... Well, I'm not going to guarantee... No, the in degree of the tiles are different, but the out degrees are the same. So it's a little more regular, but it's also a lot uglier. So there I was doing trade-offs. Do I want regularity? Do I want no loops? And I stumbled across the permutahedron, which I've studied before. Here, you can map each vertex of the permutahedron to an n-gon. And then edges of the permutahedron correspond to swapping sides of that n-gon, except for two special sides. So what you're doing is you're permuting the numbers 1 through 2n in this case. And you're not swapping the first and the 2nth number. So it's related to this idea of swapping sides of an n-gon, but my graphs actually have an edge in them that this doesn't, that swaps the first and last. Side of the polygon. So think of this with a bunch of edges added in, and we could take my tiles and glue them to this thing and have a graph, a really nice graph. This is a beautiful, beautiful graph. And I was really excited when I thought of this. Okay, so that's in print what I just said. The problem comes up that there are a lot more vertices of the permutahedron than there are Tantric's tiles. So you get duplicate tiles on some vertices. Right, so we started with that three-dimensional permutahedron I just showed you and tried just those, remember those two squares that were in, where were they? Yeah, so take these guys, two guys, right? Map them to the vertices of this guy. I think that's 4 factorial. Vertices, and you get a nice graph, although it's got a few extra edges that permutahedron didn't have. And then looking at it, you can see the permutahedron is a zonotope, so it has these belts of parallel edges. And in a lot of cases, when I did this with the square tiles, the tiles on either end of the edges were identical. Right? So maybe there'd be two tiles like that at each end of the edge. And on, I think, two different zones, I had these identical tiles all the way around the zone. So I could sort of contract those and shrink the zonotope. And I got this figure here with 24 vertices. So, okay, that's nice. That graph is a polytope. I had to give up a few edges. The edge graph of this polytope is not exactly one of these tantrix graphs I'm talking about. But it is labeled with the tantrix tiles. Now, you've probably seen the unsatisfying part here. I've got two tiles on 24 vertices. So there's a lot of multiplicity here, and I don't have good tricks for shrinking it further. I can start twisting it around, but this was sort of as far as it went in a nice way, and anything else is going to abuse it further. So in general, the 2n permutahedron has 2n factorial vertices, and if you go and count these tiles, there's a big complicated formula that I'll show you at the end, but there are a lot fewer of them than there are vertices of the permutahedron. So just very round numbers, 2 to the n, too few to make this a nice correspondence. And we have some missing edges in the permutahedron that are in the tantrix graph. So I can say with confidence that all of these tantrix graphs can be obtained from the graph of the permutahedron by making some identifications and adding some edges. That's not a very strong statement. I think that's true for any graph. So that was a little disappointing. I'm going to go way under time. Just a comment on the symmetry of the graph, given the context here. If we have m past, so if our each tile is decorated with some selection of m different colors, then there's a symmetry that permutes the colors. So let's go back to here. You can't see the colors very well, but there are three of them, and permuting those three colors gives us that threefold symmetry of the object. And there are other symmetries of the tiles, right? If you say two tiles are different, if they're mirrored images of each other, then reflecting all the tiles in your graph corresponds to a mirror image of your graph. If you say two tiles are different if they're rotated copies of each other, which I guess you could if you were going as big as the permutahedron, then you get that inducing a symmetry of the graph. And Haynes Miller, when I was describing this to him, he pointed out that one way of looking at this problem is we have circular arrangements of the numbers 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, up to nn, and we're looking at circular arrangements of that. And then if we get rid of the reflection and rotational symmetries, we're looking at orbits of those circular relations under the action of the symmetric group. So that's another way of describing what are the tantrix tiles. So you can see from that description that there should be a lot of symmetries here. So on to open questions, or at least questions I've been unable to answer. Is it true that for any m, there's some zone of the 2m minus 1 permutahedron whose edges all connect identical tiles? Okay, let's go up to 5 dimensions. Let's look at the permutahedron there, and the hexagonal tiles, and see if we can scrunch down if we have matching tiles across zones. And my suspicion is that no, it's not going to line up as nicely as it did for the square tiles. And if that doesn't work, then we're definitely never going to be able to get a really nice graph using that process. But if it does work, then maybe let's ask the second question. Will that lead us to a nice graph? Will we always be able to get something relatively small whose edges are, or whose vertices are labeled with the tantrix tiles? And another question we could ask is which tantrix graphs are Hamiltonian? We've seen examples that aren't. The first one I showed you with the single color is clearly not Hamiltonian. But I think most of them should be. So that's a guess. And then things that I haven't thought about, well, I would love for there to be Tantrix graphs that are the edge graphs of a family of polytopes. I can't find them. But if there's a way to tweak the definition or raise the dimension of the polytopes we're looking at, that would be really beautiful. So that's my fond hope, that somebody will answer this question in the affirmative. And then you could ask other sort of graph theoretic questions. Which ones are planar? What if we look at that red-yellow overcrossing as being different from a yellow-red overcrossing? What if we get rid of that asterisk tile, where all the three paths cross in the middle, and look only at tiles that come with the game? What do we get? I haven't looked at that. Are they O'Learyan? I have no idea. This last one, I think the answer should be yes. There might be something beautiful there. We've got this permutation of the colors operation if we use M colors. And if M is bigger than N, then we'll get components of the graph, each with N colors. You know, this set of tiles uses N colors. This uses different N colors. And is there a nice way to embed this graph, one of these graphs, so that the permutation of colors groups acts really nicely? I'm visualizing them as being, you know, at the vertices of a simplex somewhere. So that's all of my open questions. Here is the hideously ugly formula for how many Tantrix graphs or Tantrix tiles there are, based on our default assumptions that I gave you at the beginning. And this is just a case-by-case counting argument that a bright undergraduate could go through. It's kind of finicky because of all the symmetry, but if you hack through it, I think you get this formula. And that's all.